Mouthing Off is a theater, arts, and culture podcast from Bad Mouth Theater Company in St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm Amanda Forstrom.
I'm Kevin Couchman.
And I'm Mari Sittner. Mouthing Off features compelling interviews and discussions with artists and creators from around the Twin Cities and beyond.
Tune in for something different online where you get your podcasts at badmouthtc.com and on the air in St. Paul through Frogtown Radio 94.1 FM.
And if you've got something going on around the Twin Cities you'd like to talk about, we want to hear from you. Email us at badmouthtc@gmail.com.
Mouthing Off is sponsored by Minnesota Playlist, the digital destination for live performing arts. Producers can find talent to work with, directors can cast productions with audition ads, teachers can find students with a classified, and audiences can find the perfect show to attend on the state's largest calendar of theater and dance shows. Find out more at minnesotaplaylist.com.
We hope you enjoy the show.
We're back with another episode here of Mouthing Off on 94.1 Frogtown Radio. I'm Kevin Couchman. We're joined by the Shadow Horse Theater crew, the Dark Pony Radio people, Matthew Kelly, a return offender. Matthew, how are you?
I'm good. Busy. Lots.
Busy.
Yeah, busy. Okay. Lots going on.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the new season of Dark Pony Radio. I want to hear all about it. But we're also going to talk about your Ed Fringe experience. I can't wait. Do you want to introduce your colleague for us?
Yeah, I have Corey Bowe with us today, who has joined the team here. Just so you know, we are Dark Pony Productions now, no longer Shadow Horse. So Corey is now officially part of the team and helping us with the theater stuff.
Welcome to the show, Corey.
Hey, how are you?
Where are you? Are you over in Minneapolis too?
I'm in St. Paul, so we have the whole area covered.
Yes, absolutely. That's the right side of the river to be on. And of course, we have Mari Sittner with us. Mari is in Washington Heights. She's in Manhattan. How are things out in New York, Mari?
Nasty, but it's going to be beautiful soon. All the Christmas sure. lights are coming up. That's the nice thing about New York is everybody goes all out for Christmas. It's a Christmas town.
And you could go down, go to any one of the Christmas markets, get yourself some hot chocolate, go buy a $300 Christmas tree. If you care to, in any case, Corey, what's your arena of expertise here? How are you jumping in to join that company there?
Yeah, I've been invited to, both write for the podcast. So me and Matt worked together on season 5 for Dark Pony Radio Show. I'm also a producer for the podcast for Dark Pony Radio. And I am also a producer on our main stage side. So as we get into remounting our Edinburgh show, that'll be my first project. And hopefully many more main stage productions in the future, as well as producing and working on any film work that we may do, whether that's for promotional materials, short film, really anything in that arena.
And where can people find the company? Let's get it out of the way. I like to get the plugs out of the way so we can just all relax and have a nice time.
Right. The website, darkponyproductions.com. Pretty straightforward. You can also follow us on Instagram, where we have, again, Dark Pony Productions, and then also A Drinking Game Minnesota. We operate both of them. Those are our current two ones. You can also find myself, Aid Hajaija, on Instagram as well, where I post our stuff. And then I know we are in Blue Sky. We're not very active on Blue Sky, but we are there. And we are also, we do have a TikTok. We don't do much, but that hopefully will be more coming up, but that exists. So I think it's all Dark Pony Productions.
Let's break this conversation into a couple of bite-sized chunks, right? So I want to hear, it's no small thing to take a production, and Corey already mentioned that you're going to remount it, I assume here. But it's no small thing to take a production to Edinburgh. So I'm just going to play the wind up bird sort of thing and just say, go, tell us about how it went. How were the accommodations? How was the theater? How were the audience? So all of the questions. I'm genuinely curious, and I'm sure listeners are too. And for people who don't know what the Edinburgh Fringe is, I'm going to throw this to Mari. Mari, what is the Edinburgh Fringe in under 60 seconds?
I mean, the Edinburgh Fringe, it's the biggest theater festival in the world. There are, I think, thousands of acts that come from all over the world that can produce there. There's theater, there's music, comedy, solo stand-up performance, any kind of performance that you could think of. It is in Edinburgh. For how long were you guys there? How long does it last? A month?
It is a full month festival. We were there for the full month. There are shows that are there for one day. There are shows that are there for the full month. So any kind of thing you could possibly think about would be any kind of variation you want to do, you pretty much can do.
And what was the show you took over?
We took a show that I wrote called Baron Vordenberg's Guide to the Paranormal, which Corey did mention we will be remounting very, very soon. But yeah, so it's this little, now being billed as a Gothic horror symposium. It's like a TED Talk gone awry, essentially. And it has to deal with paranormal creatures. In this case, we talk about a singular creature, and Corey is our lead. He gets to play the Baron Vordenberg for it. And then we have, yeah, there's a few other characters. We had a cast of, what was it, Corey?
Five
yeah, for the show that we took over at Edinburgh Fringe, which you wouldn't think is big, but it is big, bringing five people over to it. I mean, there are productions that tour there that have 50, 60 people, huge ensembles, but they're usually multi-million dollar productions. They're starting their tour or ending their tour, and that's a much bigger industry, which is very interesting.
Actual barons are producing those shows.
Yes.
Yeah, those are big. True. Yeah, true. It requires a barony. So tell me about this part that you play, Corey. I want to hear more from you. I'm very curious about the show.
Yeah.
And I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, it's so I'm a baron, a monster hunter and researcher, who is giving this symposium on how to track and hunt paranormal. Things go awry pretty quickly. I have two assistants with me who are they provide the comedy of the show. We do, you know, what we call it, a darkly comedic symposium, I think. So they provide a lot of that physical, farcical comedy, a lot of mask work, clowning, compared to me trying to kind of keep it straight and educate the audience on how to kill monsters. And then things go awry about halfway through. Some other characters enter and change things up a bit. It's a brisk show. I mean, we had to do ours in about 50 minutes. Which we thought would be tough, but I mean, the pace of it's very quick. I don't think we'll be much longer remounting it here. So I think it's a nice one for if you just want something that's kind of quick, dark, and funny. I think it hits all those boxes. Which I think these days is a nice popular, you know, people want that. I want that. So, and for, you know, we were doing 22, we did 22 shows, I think, right, Aid? So doing a show that was under an hour for as much movement, and in my case, a lot of just monologuing on stage for most of that runtime, it was really nice to have a shorter show like that, a one act. That's one of the big things coming, you know, big takeaways and experiences was that doing 22 shows almost in a row, I think we had 2 days off in that run, and we had the late slot, so we were 9:30 or almost 10 every single night, really makes you realize, you know, can I do this? Like, actors do this, right? This is what real actors do, is they perform every single night. Can I do this or not? So it's a nice learning experience to kind of gauge, I think, for all of us, like, hey, is this a lifestyle we want to live? And I think resoundingly, we're all like, oh yes, we love this. This is fantastic. This is what life should be. It's just, Playing every single night.
Yeah, I remember last year I was in the longest running show that I've ever been in my life. It was we worked on it. It ran from like July to November. Like it was really crazy, but it was really fun to see how the show changed, you know, night to night, week to week, month to month. I'm curious what changed about the show sort of from the beginning of your run to the end of your run.
So much, don't you think? And you said that you said that things are going to start to feel different, and you're going to start the show will just naturally change. Even if you tried to keep it all the same, doing that much in a row for that long, it just will morph. And it did. I mean, I felt huge changes from, I mean, for one, adding the audience in, but also with an audience there that big. We always had audience, which was great. But some nights you'd have under 10 people, some nights we had almost 40. And that audience energy, especially for a show like this that really relies on some audience participation as well, really changed things. So I mean, it easily can say that every single night was a little bit different. It definitely changed character motivations, I feel like. Mine for sure, I think the other actors as well. And then there were like the other things that changed. I know that for me and Kelly Desiree, who was my scene partner in much of the show, we had a whole backstory that we created doing a lot of work and improvisation, working on scenes before we went over. And we took that with us there. And then just performing the show each night, we kept discovering new things as well. And that changed our character's backstory. And that was a, that's a fun thing about this piece that I wrote as well, is that it's full enough of plot and backstory that you have the guidelines, where as an actor where to go with it and where to start creating something. But it's also he left enough blanks for us that things could change and still work with the script as it's written. So that was a blessing to have, because in that environment things did change, and I think it worked. I think audiences each night probably saw a completely different show and came away with different feelings about it. And for this type of show that we brought over, I think that's probably the goal.
Without spoiling it for our Minnesota audience who is going to see your remounted production, can you tell us a little bit about the audience participation? If you had anybody really interesting kind of come up and work with you guys.
The original script had a full getting audience on stage, getting them actually into the grime of what the brutality of the show that there is. Unfortunately, due to time and by actually a good grace, we did end up having to cut it. So the audience participation is a lot less of a get on the stage and more of an engagement of there's going to be things to tell you to do, so you can do them by being seated. You don't need to stand up. You don't need to get. It's like audience participation light. Is the best way of saying it, where the goal is to have you involved with everything that's going on in the show, but not necessarily give you that slight immersion kind of feeling without pulling you out of a comfort zone and putting you on the stage or forcing people to do something that they don't want to do, and then completely ruining their night. So it's much more of just you're here to engage with us, we're going to engage with you, and let's just react to each other. So it's kind of a hands-off involvement, really.
So the
Which
concept
we're
is a sort of a symposium that breaks down. Have you seen, and I'm sure you've seen this, and this is just tangential and self-serving in this sense that I love this movie. Late Night with the Devil. Are you familiar with this? Wonderful. Mari, have you seen Late Night with the Devil yet? Okay,
No,
please
I've
go and
seen it.
watch it.
It's the one
Oh,
that's super 70s, right? And they
yeah,
shoot it
it's a
like they're in the
super
70s. It
70s.
looks great.
I love that sort of thing where you take the idea of something and it's theatrical in and of itself, but it's the symposium that goes wrong. So, Corey, it sounds like you have maybe had something.
In terms of audience, yeah, just an audience participation. It's exactly the level of a participation I like. As an actor, I love engaging with audience and making them do stuff. As an audience member, please don't come near me. Please don't touch me. So, I think we have it's a nice, so for those people that need that and don't want that,
Don't sit
sort
in the
of kicked
front
out.
row of the comedy club, right? We just sit back in the shadows.
Exactly.
Yeah, fun. Well, so how did you initially conceive the script? Where did this idea come from?
It was originally an idea of, like a lot of my stuff is an experiment to see how my writing works with it. It was designed to see what I could do with just writing more monologue style kind of format. And then we had just gotten done doing the podcast episode of Carmilla. And I'm in absolute love with that book. It is up there with top books and gothic stories for me as Carmilla. So Baron Vordenburg is actually a character from it, a very minor character from Carmilla. But he is from that. And
what is Carmilla? I'm not familiar with this.
Carmilla is a novella written by Sheridan Le Fanu, pre Bram Stoker. In fact, there's talks that Bram Stoker, acknowledges Carmilla specifically in like was it Dracula's Guest, and really helped kind of pave the way for some of the myth that he came off of it with it. So it's the, an earlier version of a Dracula-esque story. And I find it very beautiful. It's not, I don't find it terrifying. I actually find it quite beautiful and lovely, and deals a lot, in my mind, deals a lot with love and a lot with interconnections of just love in general, filtered through a vampire. Very interesting. I highly recommend it if you have not read it. It is very good. But the Baron is a minor character in that world. So we kind of pulled that character out of the world, create our own universe, really, and then have little elements dropped in it, but nothing. You don't need to know the story. You don't need to know that world, because we kind of created our own with it. And I love this Van Helsing idea of a paranormal hunter, and then it just kind of spawned from there. Of what if they give a slideshow presentation and be silly with it? And there's two random characters that are just silly. It just kind of, every kind of step of the way, it just kept going and going until we got to this piece. And I know Corey was the original readers for the first edition of it way back the year before. What was it? 20? Not last year, but the year before, I think.
Yeah, it was 2024. Yeah.
2024. We sat down, right? I'm like, this is actually really good. We should think about getting this up. And then my wife Mara was like, let's do Ed Fringe. I'm like, okay.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, let's take seven or eight people to the UK for a month.
So we just kind of revamped it, and as we started fine-tuning what we were doing for Fringe for Ed Fringe, kind of limited, broke us down, and we end up having to cut more and more and more as the shows goes on, discovering how long it actually was. And then the final version that's kind of been in, or the version that's been in now, has even gotten recut again for the Minneapolis remount. We've changed quite a bit. We've removed some characters and changed some of the stuff, and it added some things back in that we didn't have before, because we have no time, or we have a longer time limit now. Yeah, it's been a kind of crazy adventure with this script.
What was that process like? I'm thinking as a writer and a playwright that it sort of terrifies me, this idea of cutting a piece, like just naturally, right? You fall in love with your words. No, it has to be exactly 83 minutes. And if it's not, there's going to be hell to pay, because I'm also directing this production of my play. You know what I mean? I can imagine in the sort of crucible of that process, you probably figured out what you have on your hands, right?
Yeah. Honestly, the cutting wasn't too bad. I think after the initial table read, I was like, oh, I do have to cut. Like, that immediately went in my head. What are the big things we can cut out? Luckily, it's the script is set up in the symposium style, going by slide by slide by slide. So I can even break down how long each slide is. And then the structure of it, like immediately, like taking out the improv stuff. Let's just get rid of that, because that's written in the script. That's an easy cut, because that's a good time chunk we don't need. And it's not really needed for the show's like story arc. It's just fun and theatrical, but doesn't really get to the heart of the story. Being monologue based as well, it was easy to sit down with Corey at times and be like, well, what do we feel is redundant? What do we feel like? Is this actually needed? Is it not, is it cool and we want to keep it, or is it needed for the show? And thinking more from the aspect of what's needed to drive the point home and drive the story, rather than I don't hesitate to use the word fluff, but more for the fun and the enjoyment of character and quality.
Banter. We got bants. And I'm sure if somebody said, "Hey, you got to expand this show to 75 minutes," you could do it.
Easy.
Right. Yeah. I think that's something young writers maybe don't always understand. Yeah, go on.
And it, I felt it easier than I anticipated for it. And I think it's because the show eventually became more ensemble based, even though we have the Baron who talks like 90% of the show. It felt like we were all kind of working together to make this piece just shine in Edfringe and just work together to find the best formula that works for everything we have here, rather than writer separate, director separate, producer separate. Let's just take those three ideas, mash them together, and the director just makes the hard choices and tells everyone, go do it.
Where are you going to be producing it in Minnesota? Do you know yet?
Yep, Bright Like Bowl. And it'll be January. I got the dates and everything. January 16th, 17th, and 18th. And then the following week as well. Let me get pull up the exact
Sure.
23rd.
DarkPonyProductions.com. DarkPonyProductions.com at Bryant Lake Bowl, the great Bryant Lake Bowl.
Yeah, that's a great little venue. It's really
I
fun.
love
It'll
it.
have a good
So
vibe.
fun. Yeah.
Because
It's a
you
great
did it at a
story.
pub in Edinburgh, yeah?
We did it actually in an old church.
Oh, never mind. Like the
Not so much. Not always, Mark. No.
In a way, it's the greatest club.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We booked a space with a company called The Space UK, and they're absolutely wonderful. If you ever get a chance to work with them, highly, highly recommend it. Fantastic people to work with. Even the volunteers and the hired staff was great. They run a tight ship, and nope, I don't know if Corey, if you experienced it, but I experienced any problems on a production side with them, outside of posters issues, that wasn't their fault. But we
No,
were,
they were, yeah, so
yeah.
hospitable. Like, I mean, everyone there was. I think we probably came in being extra, kind of cautious and tentative. Like, oh, we don't want to mess things up. We're visitors to your country, and we're in your city with, what, 2 million other people, nonstop. I mean, walking the streets, crowding the place, being loud until 5 a.m., leaving our posters all over the place, just trashing it. I think we came much more nervous about how we retreat, how, the people there were so kind and so nice. And I think we apologized many times on behalf of being American. And I heard from so many people there saying, "Oh no, we love Americans. You guys are polite, you're quiet. It's the English that are loud. They're the ones who come and
Well,
attack
you're
you."
in Scotland. I mean, let's be real. We don't need to. That's a different podcast, but that's very funny. That is very funny. Wow. I wanted to ask what was Edinburgh like? What were your digs like? Where were you staying? Did you have a little collective house where you were all staying, or what happened there?
We booked was it Edinburgh College? I think we stayed on dorms, basically dorm rooms. We stayed in like two different flats. We booked a 5-person flat and a 3-person flat, and they were in separate buildings of the same complex. But they ran a really sweet deal. So we lived like college students again in terrible, terrible beds for
I
a month.
love it. Amazing
But
hours.
location-wise, we were literally 9-minute walk from our space,
That's great.
and we were in the heart of Old Town, which was also super nice. So walking anywhere to do something or just go see shows, we're right there in the heart of everything. So accessibility was very good for us where we were at.
Yeah. Walked by a castle every morning to get our coffee.
Like you
You
do.
know,
Sure.
stuff you'll
Yeah, well,
never have here.
that's where the history comes from, as the man said. What was the weather like? How was the weather?
Super warm.
Yeah,
Really,
they
it
did
was
like a
warm
heat wave.
and no air conditioning. No, I mean, I rehearsed a show in London once with no air conditioning. Forget about it. The poor actors, everybody's suffering. And I'm going, why don't it's 2014? Why don't you? No, they can't be bothered. So you
No,
were sweating.
Yep, it was. I think at one point it was 98 there for a few days straight, which is just unheard of at that time of year. And then, I think the coldest it got was one day at like, what was it, 60? And then the rest of the time we were back to 70 and 80s.
It drizzled one day. Like I
Yeah.
packed for rain and
Oh,
clouds the entire trip, and then it was
that
hot
sounds amazing.
for
That probably put a damper on your gothic horror show that it was so beautiful outside.
No, that city loves gothic. They love horror. We were in the right space for it. And especially at Fringe, there was not a whole lot of dark horror. There's some dark comedy for sure, but dark horror stuff that was very, very few and far in between. That did shows there. A bulk of the shows are one person. Stand-up comedy, comedy in general. Just because I get it. It's the easiest thing to travel with. It's the easiest thing to tour with is your own show. But yeah, so I felt it, despite the weather, we still it was still a success in our minds. So
And I know we're here to talk about you guys and keep talking about the show, and we will, but what did you see when you were there? Did you see anything that like really inspired you? That
like
what was the
show
what was
wise,
the best thing you saw?
like show
Show-wise?
wise.
Yeah.
Show wise, we unfortunately I didn't get to hit as much shows as I wanted. And the ones I really wanted to see, I ran out of time, unfortunately. There is a few shows out there I really wanted to see that all take place in a storage container, like a shipping container specifically. And it's all done in the dark except for lights and sound. And they have like a series of them. I really wanted to get to see them. I didn't get a chance to, but I just tried to support people that did come to our show first, because there's a lot of people that would just show up there. So I'd be like, I want to see that. We're like, great. We're gonna make efforts to make sure we get to your stuff, because you took time away to come hang out with us. We've met wonderful people out there. I know we saw an artist named Hannah Rose Platt who had a release album out there while we were there, and she absolutely loved our show, and we absolutely love her music. In fact, her music will be used in the next remount of the show. And we tried to support things that were within the same vein. See something that someone suggested to us. A few of the shows we really wanted to see, we couldn't because of our time slot. I know one of our Max, one of our producers, went to go see a Viking wrestling Ragnarok show, this epic outdoor wrestling, all wrestling, a theater show. It looked amazing and brutal, but again, during our time slot, so we couldn't see it. He went to that instead of our show, which is fine. But I
I
love
don't know
Edinburgh
how
as a
people.
city, so that city just inspires me everywhere I go.
Yeah, I don't know how people do it in terms of seeing so many shows while, because you're promoting your own show day in and day out. You're also just, you're in Scotland, right? We're trying to go see the sights and like just wander around the city and enjoy it. And then also doing our show and then seeing other shows. I mean, I don't think we ever, almost ever, had any downtime other than to catch a few hours of rest before going out to see the next thing. So, yeah, we didn't see as many shows as we wanted to. Like you said, Hannah Rose Platt, that show was fantastic. Her music was just lovely. It was really empowering. It was really, it was something really special. And then we had drinks and dinner with them a couple times after our shows, and they would plug our show, which was so cool to see. Plug their show on social, and that, that's one relationship I feel like we came out of. And like you said, now we're going to work with them for music for the next venture. And I feel like a big part of the Fringe is to just kind of form those relationships and find them when you can. And if stars align and even across the seas, you can keep working with each other. So I'm really proud of that one. I got to see a comedian, Beth May. She had her show. If anyone listens to Dungeons and Daddies, it's a hilarious D&D podcast. Beth May is on that. She had a show there. So me and my wife, who was with us, we got to go see that. And to see someone we admire so much 10 feet away from us was pretty special. So things like that will definitely stand out in my memory just forever.
Cool. Are there any sort of inside baseball tips that you would give to somebody either visiting or staging a show? Something you would wished somebody had told you before you went over?
My thing would be make sure your marketing is set up and 100% take the time to wait in lines for marketing. Take the time to go meet press. We did it, and there, I feel that is the reason why we were as successful as we were. We got reviewers, which is very hard to do. At Fringe, we even got 5-star reviews, which is also very hard to do at Fringe. At Fringe, so please, that would be my thing. Was yeah, get your marketing set up. Number one thing.
Maybe even like pay a PR person or pay somebody who
Absolutely.
specializes in that. Yeah, for real. That doesn't surprise me at all.
You
Yeah,
gotta get on
Corey.
TikTok, you guys.
That's it. You
Well,
gotta
gotta
go
get
where
that
the pe
TikTok
you gotta go where the
going.
people are.
Yeah, even social media was it's there, but it's inundated so much, and it does help. But honestly, handing up flyers, like physically talking to people, handing up flyers, going to the locations, going to like the meet the press days. They have like days when you go and do speed dating with the press, and it's we. I think Corey, we were in line what 2 hours before we even got in to see them.
2 hours. It was about 4 hours. It
Four
was a 6 hour
hours.
day.
Yeah, and. Have that 30-second pitch, that 10-second pitch, that 5-second pitch. Have all of that ready, and everybody can rattle it off quickly. It will save you so much. It will get you the results you were hoping for and open up doors that you didn't think you would get to.
Sure. Well, so hit me. Let you know you're doing this at Bryant Lake Bowl in January. That's next month here in beautiful Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota. We're never in the news for anything anymore. But why come to this show and go? Go. Why should I get a ticket to this show?
To
In
see
these trying times in a world,
Corey.
if you here's the thing. So this show, I think it does reflect a lot of gosh, a lot of the themes we're seeing in today's world, politically, socially. I think it's a good commentary on that. It doesn't necessarily have to be. So if you're sick of news in the world, and you just want to see something that's about how do I find and kill a vampire? How do I do that? This show is for you. If you are thinking, you know what? I love vampires. Why would I ever want to kill them? This show is for you. I think it presents both sides of that. If you're there for entertainment, comedy, you like physical comedy, gags, we have that. If you want
Is
some
there any
violence,
blood? Is there any
there's blood.
blood?
If you want
Blood,
violence,
good.
blood, that's
Yeah.
in there too.
Cool. It will be.
You mentioned love. I mean, the whole last 30 minutes, I feel
Yeah.
like, is so much about just love. And that's not something I think anyone expects when they first go in and sit down and start watching this show. I think it goes through quite a number of changes. It's a roller coaster ride.
I think the best quote I heard about the show was that show made me feel complicit and not in a good way. So if you want to be part of something that we're not expecting to be part of, absolutely. It does come with a content warning because it is very there is some heavy brutality in it. So that is a thing I do want to make sure everyone's aware of. And
Corey, how do you prepare to play a baron? You know what I think of when I think of barons now? No, not the president's son. That's the farthest thing from my mind. I think about Baron Harkonnen. I was at the haberdashery today downtown here, Jaime's, getting my hair cut. And what film should be on but my second favorite film, Dune 2, second only to Jaws. Right. And of course the Baron is an incredible figure in the Dune series. So how do you prepare to play a Baron? Is he an evil Baron? Barons tend to
No,
be evil.
they
No?
tend to be right. They're at least what you think of a baron, they're evil and they're larger than life. For sure, Baron Vordenburg is larger than life. In terms of evil, I'd be curious what the audience pulls away from that. I think we've tried to go in a very It's interesting. So when we did all the work before we got to, before we went to Scotland, whatever, we got there, and then I think it was Kelly who plays a character in the show. I'm not gonna. She's a countess, so kind of a foil to a baron, right? Countesses, barons, all that. But we were like, we saw so many beautiful cemeteries, so many kirkyards, and all over the city. And there's one in particular we found just under Edinburgh Castle. And she said, "Well, what if we go before, not before every show, but you know, every week at least? What if we wandered the cemetery?" And respectfully, of course, you know, not messing with graves or anything like that, but wandering character and kind of on our own, relive the backstory we created for ourselves as we're wandering a cemetery beneath this castle that's hundreds of years old in this city that's ancient. What will that do for us? And as you might imagine, it did a lot. It puts a lot in your head to get in that mindset. So, that was we, you know, that's the one thing that about going there and doing it, we were very lucky because we could just sit in on a bench in a cemetery in this world and have hundreds and hundreds of years worth of history bearing down on you and putting you in, helping you get into that mindset of, okay, here's a baron, ancient families, right? Has an estate, monster hunting, gothic. It all kind of just gets in your head, and then by the time you're on stage, it's kind of just this energy is just trying to escape your body, which is a really cool feeling. Bringing
Sure.
it here will be interesting because we're going to have to find that same thing, you know, sitting under a skyscraper in Minneapolis, which
Now
is not at all for
just
the
walk down Lake Street and just pick up the energy.
faint.
I truly believe that we're cursed in Minneapolis by the cities are cursed by the river. We offended the river demon at some point, and it's just cursed us deeply. And I think the energy runs like Ghostbusters down Lake Street. In any case, that'll be a lot of fun. I will certainly try to come out and see it. I'm traveling a little bit in the middle of January, but I'll look at the dates and God willing, I mean, you know, I'll be able to come out. Is the audience cast in a particular role? You know, is it sort of like you're here to learn how to hunt monsters, or is it more specific than that? Or is it just like audience at the symposium?
Sort of a little bit of both. There is a light concept of we see the audience as future hunters, expert hunters, or people who just want to learn. So it kind of caters to all three of that world. Being in symposium, it usually caters to that direct group of people. We don't keep a whole lot of secondhand language in it. There is a lot of just forefront talking about the world, talking about the lore, just to get everyone on the same page. But the Baron does treat the audience as though they are in a paranormal world. They understand the basics of what a paranormal world is. It doesn't mean you have to believe in the paranormal or understand it as an audience
Yeah,
kind of
but
thing.
sure.
Yeah,
But
but
as soon as they pay, you know, we paid our money
yeah.
for the ticket, we want to take the ride, right? Corey, has there been a night, because I'm thinking back to my abortive acting days, right? Like Mari's more the resident actor than I am, but was there ever a night doing the show where the slides just saved you? Where
Oh,
you were on an island and you know what I mean? Or no,
no,
you were
because
more of a
it.
pro.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that, but we didn't have any. This is not much of a spoiler, but right away in the start of the show, we don't have slides. The projector's broken.
I
So, no, I
see.
didn't even have that to rely on. I will say, but you know, there was, you'd think doing it enough, it would just get in your head and stay there. I think there was probably one night, probably like 5 nights in out of 22, where I did just completely, I'll admit it, I completely, like halfway through a monologue, forgot where I was going with it. And then I remember jumping to the end because that's just what came out. I didn't want to pause too long and let it be obvious. And then as soon as I got to the end, it's like, oh man, I really like the stuff that I skipped. So instead of just going on, I looped back and
And
played
you
that in a
remembered
different,
this stuff.
yeah, hopefully in a natural
God.
way. But
Sure.
benefit of being the only one talking for most of the show is there's no one that can, you know, who knows better, right? No one can stop me.
Nobody's going to step on you and nobody else is going to screw up. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. Well, that's been fun. I've liked learning about the Edinburgh Fringe and I've liked learning about this show. I know there's, we maybe got 15 more minutes here. You're listening to Mouthing Off here from Bad Mouth Theater Company, badmouthtc.com. We're talking with the Dark Pony Productions people. They have a show coming up at Bryant Lake Bowl here in January 2026. It sounds like it's going to be running for a couple of weeks in the middle of January. So go to darkponyproductions.com. Check it out. Let's talk about Dark Pony Radio. So what is Dark Pony? For people who are not in the Twin Cities, for people who won't go anywhere near the Bryant Lake Bowl presently, there's a radio show that they can enjoy, much like Mouthing Off. Tell us about it.
Well, it has started off. We're starting our fifth year very soon, or launching our fifth year very soon. It is a horror fiction anthology podcast with some classic old school radio shows that were horror back from the 30s, 40s, 50s. And then it's kind of now become much more original work throughout the years. And now this year, we're completely pivoting. We're doing 20 episodes twice a month and a full episode storyline from episode 1 through 20. So Corey and I sat down and wrote out a 40,000 word script and we recorded it it will be 4 days now, and sat down and recorded most of it in 3 days with a huge cast. And now it's just being engineered and getting closer and closer for launch.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
What is it about? I mean, that is what's it about? I mean, wow.
Corey, why don't you take this one?
Okay, go. Corey, go. Yeah. Aaron, go.
So it's called Vetma. This show kind of follows, it follows three different storylines. It's about the persecution of enchanted people in kind of the not so distant future of our own world. In Slavic mythology, Vedma or Vedmak means witch, and that's what this season is about. In our world, witch is a derogatory term.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I wish I had said something earlier that I have been meditating on. I'm going to say it now. I'm talking over you and I'm being a bad host, but indulge me. Earlier, I was going to say, okay, so you've got, you know, a vampire hunting baron. There's a famous cycle between vampires and werewolves. And I have a personal theory that we are in the season of the witch. So go on. I should have said it earlier, but yes. Anyway, please continue.
Shaking in my seat now. Yeah.
No, really? No, yeah. Yeah.
Of the witch, Vedma. So in our show, that word is derogatory. It's used really flippantly by an organization that's basically hunting down enchanted people, which is the proper term. So this organization is kind of a religious theocracy called the Coterie, which I believe has been featured a bit in other stories in Dark Pony Radio. So it still ties together. It's from that same world. It's just that for the first time, we're following one long story arc for an entire season that follows several characters going through. we follow the hunters, we follow the people that are actually hunting down Enchanted, and then we follow the people that are being hunted and how their stories intertwine. A lot of family themes, bloodlines plays an important part of this. Definitely a lot of themes pulled from real world, right? And that's not necessarily intentional. I think the more we were writing it, the more we realized, yeah, you could take this and put it up against what's happening in the world today, but you could also put it up against what's happening in the world in the 1940s, and then back in the 1800s, all 1600s, all the way back to the beginning of time. And it was a really sobering reminder of that. Oh, yeah, the reason these themes are so prevalent is because they just always existed. Like, violence, evil rhetoric has always been here. And we've never found the answer for how to stop that. I mean, we know we should stop it, right? But we're not. Humanity, mankind keeps it going. and it lives on. And that's why we have so many stories that follow that. So it's definitely something, I think it's escapism. I think you can escape from the real world into it. And I think you could also listen to it and be like, oh yeah, that feels pretty real to me. It has a lot of action and comedy in it as well. I think that the central theme, of course, still being the theme is horror. That's the genre, but I feel like especially the first couple episodes are very action heavy. And then, I mean, we're recording stuff and I'm laughing out loud, which is very poor mic etiquette, but I'm laughing out loud at stuff. So I think the cast is just incredible. I think, we have 11 people playing 43 roles, something like that. So hearing people switch between multiple characters in one episode has been really cool to kind of witness that. Yeah, it's a definitely a challenge for sure, just with the breadth of it and the scope and how much, and being 40,000 words to 300 page script. I'm really excited to see how it turns out.
What was the writing process? This is, go on, Mari. I've asked a
Oh
lot of
no, I was just
questions.
curious. Is anybody else from Baron Vordenberg in season 5? Who did
Yes,
we hear? Who are we going to hear?
Kelly Desiree will be returning. She actually did our first two episodes of Dark Pony, or three episodes of Dark Pony Radio in season one, and she has returned playing different characters, not the same ones. Returned this season for I think two or three characters. Who was there? Anybody else?
I think it might just be Kelly.
I think it's just Kelly that's coming back from that was part of Baron.
Yeah.
I mean, we have our normal crew of players, so like Matt Sachs is back, Max Bessner's back, Nicole Lorenz back,
Megan Noel Johnson.
Megan Noel Johnson, Terrell X is back, Carney's Executioner hosting as well, and then one of our newer producers as well, who's done a few with us last season, is also back, and that is Mike D. So we got a slew of people coming in. That returning and doing a bunch of characters, things that a lot of us have not done. It's great. It's an adventure for sure, for it.
Did you order a lot of takeout for that production session? How did you were you feeding people?
No, I
Who
didn't let
no?
anyone eat.
Everybody's on their own.
It was there was a lot. I mean, for one of the re it was 6 to 8 hour recording days, which. The first one was rough. The second, the first, the se sorry, the first full 8 hour recording day actually went by real fast, and surprised a lot of us. We were just like on task, making it happen. And then I think a couple of them we kind of got to goofy land about halfway through because our brains just started turning to mush. But and Kevin, you've seen the recording area. We got 11 people in there at one
Sure,
point.
and for people who are listening, it's a basement. You're in a basement in Minneapolis, recording for sure. I mean, it's not, the basement in the Blair Witch, but it's a basement, in Minneapolis. Yeah, for sure.
Decked out with tons of equipment. We're lucky
A
because
lot of
we have
equipment.
such a good sound engineer. I mean, Benjamin Conklin, right, he was incredible. So this is my first experience working on a podcast, on a radio show. Could not have asked for a better engineer to guide me and the other new people through that process. I mean, just incredible work. Very
He's a
patient.
very steady hand.
Cannot give him enough props.
Okay, so why witches now? Go beyond the obvious, right? Like, what is it about witches right now that matters, maybe more than normally?
I think originally it started off with as we had a script. I had a script that was already kind of pre-started, and it was kind of already set in that world, and we just expanded off of that. That one, the more we got into it, and really pulled more stuff out of it, and completely changed what the original idea even was. There's still some surviving stuff of a couple scenes here and there, but I think it's just I don't think witchcraft people who practice Wiccan or who don't practice Wiccan and are witches. Also, I don't think it's ever left the zeitgeist. You know, also being in Edinburgh for a month, it's everywhere. I mean, that life still exists there. You know, it's right there in front of your faces. Here, not so much in the U.S., but it is still highly there. And I think there's just something about what we as a community, as people, did to and used the concept of witches to justify horrific things or justify this or that. And just because we don't use that term nowadays, we don't use that specific wording or look at people that way, that still, we still treat people the same exact way. It's just, we substitute different words for it. So I don't think it's, like Corey mentioned earlier, I don't think it's ever gone. I don't think it's ever left. It's just found new versions of it.
Right. And we could separate the idea of like the practicing religious witchcraft from this idea of a witch hunt, this idea that we're going to get the witch, right? We're going to get that person who signifies the scapegoat, often, but not always, a woman, and we've been living in this culture now with the Panopticon social media society now, where we're rediscovering the sort of great Calvinist machinery in the American sky, where we're all watching each other all the time and everybody's looking to see if there's anything to, you can go get them. So I feel like that's one of the reasons why it sort of popped up in the zeitgeist. And I've noticed it in film lately. Long Legs is a witch movie. Weapons is a witch movie. Mm-hmm. One of the best movies of the new millennium, The Witch, is a witch movie, right? And, you know, there's just something about it. And I also think, too, as Americans, I think we have the archetype of the witch hunt. And that sort of strange, unique paranoia just embedded in our hearts. And I don't think that we're ever going to be able to wrestle it free.
I think that level and always in the back of their heads of questioning what is actually true. And, you know, you mentioned the witch. Granted, they make a decision for you at the end of that movie. But that movie is set in a world of uncertainty. Like, is it real? Or are we projecting this reality on it? Or is it not either of those and other people treating us that way because they perceive it? And I think that's why it also still exists, is that there's never a full knowledge or an exact, yes, magic exists. Yes, people using curses, using spells to better their life, to better other people's worlds. Does that truly exist? You know, that kind of hidden thing.
Well, and everybody now, I mean, but we live in this hyper-technologized world. I don't know who it is who said this, but any advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic, right? You have everybody, every other person, every person you're speaking to has direct communication, which would 500 years ago have been understood as like a djinn or a genie or a demon. You're literally talking to this strange AI thing and it seems to be intelligent. I mean, we all have like scry stones in our hands. We live in a very magical time, and I think there's something worthy about re-enchanting it, and that is something that art can do. Give us your pitches one more time for Dark Pony Productions, the show coming up, the new season, and then we're going to wind down here on Mouthing Off from Bad Mouth Theater Company, badmouthtc.com.
I'll start with season 5, Dark Pony Radio Show, Vedma. It should be starting very soon, within a week or two here in December. We'll have all the postings up very quickly about that for an exact date. But that will, please check out our previous seasons 1 through 4 on anywhere you can find a podcast currently. We're on all of them. Yeah, it should be an interesting, and it's going to be a fun adventure. Corey?
For the Baron Vordenberg's Guide to the Paranormal, our remount of our 5-star Edinburgh Fringe Festival show.
Hell yeah, that's how, that's it. Always be marketing. That's right. Very good.
In the middle of the winter, mid-January, you feel like you need a beer and want to just sit back and learn something new about the magical world, then come into Bryant Lake Bowl We're there for 3 weekends, the last 3 weekends of January, and you can participate in a darkly comedic symposium wherein the renowned Baron Vordenburg teaches you how to hunt and kill vampires. Nothing could possibly go wrong.
You're going to want to know this as the nights continue to remain dark in the Twin Cities. DarkPonyProductions.com. Thank you. You've been listening to Mouthing Off. Thank you, Maury. Thanks, fellas. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.